Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
All right, welcome back to it. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Greatly appreciate having you on board. You know, we've talked about this a lot with a variety of individuals. And that is, you know, the treatment, I suppose, for lack of a better term, of black Americans when it comes to the Democratic Party, who naturally assumes they're going to get all the votes from the black community and seem to do quite well there, despite the fact that things like home ownership and poverty and unemployment are higher in that subset of Americans than any place else. But the promises are made, the voters return, the cycle continues, and it never seems to change. But maybe it changes with Project 21. Our next guest is Chris Arp, a member of the Project 21 National Advisory Council. It's an organization that is there to, part of the National Center for Public Policy Research, to promote the views of African Americans who have entrepreneurial spirit, dedication to family, commitment to individual responsibility. There's something we like, and a whole lot more. Chris, welcome on board.
Steve, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So, I don't know where to begin with this, because the conversation, you know, I've had with you know, black conservatives, I mean, first of all, when you deviate from the party line of the Democrats, the name-calling, the insults, and so forth begin almost immediately. Am I wrong?
Oh, that's true. We have we've become a mainstay constituent of the Democratic Party ever since LBJ signed civil rights and voting rights laws into law in the early 60s.
And what people forget is that a much more comprehensive civil rights bill was pushed heavily by Dwight David Eisenhower in 1957. Supported by almost all Republicans, blocked by Democrats. It was a more robust law. It would have been a better law, I believe. But people rewrite history, and then the Democrats with LBJ, right, signed that bill. And as he famously said in uttering words that I will not repeat here, said that the black community will vote for us for the next 200 years, right? And
that
they have.
That's correct. You know, and I am a conservative. I make no bones about that. But I do admit that I am a semi-admirer of LBJ, and I've read all of the biographies done by Robert Carroll, which two of them have won Pulitzer Prizes. But LBJ did get a civil rights bill passed in 1957, but it was a toothless bill that didn't have any enforcement mechanisms in it. His fellow Democratic senators in the South made sure that the bill was toothless if anything had to be passed.
Well, so here we are. 50 years later,
mm-hmm.
Unemployment in the black community is higher than any subset, the rate of incarceration, and the big problem to me is the destruction, if you will, of the nuclear family, especially in the black community, when 70% or 72% of black children today are born to single mothers, because in my estimation, these social programs incentivize women to kick the man out of the house. How is that ever going to work? How is that ever going to break the cycle of dependence and poverty and crime and all that nonsense if we can't have a family? Because what we don't have enough of, not just in the black community, but in America in general, we need more fathers.
Mm-hmm. And what we've seen because of these great society programs of what you described, but we also see that, something that's very startling to me is that the number one cause of death for black males 15 to 30 is not falls, it's not cancer, it's not any type of a disease, it's homicide, murder. And I think that is a great a symptom of some of the great society programs, like you said, where the father was taken out of the home, there wasn't a family unit. You know, also, too, a startling statistic that in New York City and in Georgia a couple years ago, there were more abortions than live births when it came to black babies. But I think all of that is just a symptom of the Great Society programs. I think they had good intentions, but I think that those programs ended up turning into, a program to keep black people voting Democrat instead of trying to make them
No question.
Self-reliant.
In fact, I would go a step further. I would say those programs buy votes in poor communities, especially black communities, by promising this program and that program, which promotes dependence, which promotes voting for the same thing over and over again.
I agree. Let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Hillary Clinton has good intentions?
I think Hillary Clinton has good intentions for Bill and Hillary and Chelsea, but for African Americans in specific and America in general, no, I don't. I think the Clintons have been on a quest for power for the last 45 years, and I think if Hillary unfortunately becomes president, this will be the culmination of that quest.
So let me ask you this. We're with Chris Arp, a member of the Project 21, and you should look this up. It's a fascinating organization that is trying to, you know, take a different path, a different direction among their peers in the black community. Let me ask you this. Do you support Donald Trump, then, in the November election?
Well, let's put it this way. I wouldn't call myself a never-Trumper. It's probably going to be a voting booth decision for me. I like a lot of Donald Trump's message, you know, close the borders, let's look at our trade deals, let's be smarter about who we are as a country and our leaders. But sometimes some of the rhetoric that comes out of his mouth and the childish, you know, name-calling kind of stops me from giving him my full support.
Yeah, he's tended to start to migrate away from the name-calling the way it was during the primaries, that's for sure. And that is a turnoff for sure, but the alternative, of course, is that Hillary Clinton gets 4 years, which extends the policies that have put us $20 trillion in debt, have you know, disadvantaged people all over. And you talk about the border concerns. I mean, all of the illegal aliens coming in, that steals jobs not from the middle class and up, but from people that are the lower rungs of the income ladder. So people that are in challenged neighborhoods, they're the ones that get the short end of that deal.
Oh, Steve, I make that point. I mean, you know, the black teenage unemployment rate is 45%. 45%. And when we talk about things like the minimum wage, that's just going to drive that higher. And then when you have, you know, illegal labor coming to the country that will work, you know, for cheap wages, that's going to, you know, lower unemployment for African Americans in general and for teenagers specifically. You know, I remember during Katrina, you know, when the city was evacuated and a lot of African Americans were moved to Texas and different parts of the country, but we found out in reports in mainstream magazines that illegal immigrants were helping to rebuild New Orleans, doing some of the drywalling and the construction. So, I mean, that's just a total slap in the face that, you know, you're being sent to other parts of the country and the illegal aliens are rebuilding your city.
When what we need in this country, whether it's a poor black community or a poor white community, which, trust me, in northern Michigan, you've got plenty of those, too. People forget sure. that, you know, a lot of people, white people in poverty on food stamps, that could use those jobs as well. Let's not kid ourselves. Let me, Chris, can you hold on for a minute? Because I'd like to hold you through the break, because there's, okay. I mean, there's a whole host of things I haven't gotten to, and if you're okay, we'd like to hold you through the break.
Sure.
Chris Arp is here, a member of the Project 21 National Advisory Council, and this is, as you're hearing, it's a forward-thinking organization that's looking at solutions. How do we get better jobs? How do we get a better situation? How do we get a chance for our children to grow up and be successful and own a business or have a good career? The same things that we all want. It's 41 after on the Steve Gruber Show. SteveGruber.com and the hotline, the Common Sense Hotline, 888-900-9966. Sit tight. We'll be right back.